Everybody has ideas, everybody starts companies, but not everybody makes it to the top. I truly believe if you want to build something that's really impactful as an entrepreneur, you have to be very obsessed about what you do and why you do what you do. I started to lose my hair in my early 20s, which was pretty challenging, right, as a young man. I had a successful engineering company here in New York, but eventually I just decided to do something else, something that felt more that I was really contributing to people's lives.
Welcome to Speak Like a CEO. Today, Lena and Oliver speak with Georgia Sittis, co-founder and CEO of the hair wellness company Nutrafol. A great episode if you want to learn more about how to communicate a taboo, how to create trust if there's skepticism towards your product, what the secret source to 100,000 followers on Insta is, and learn more about the value of personal branding as a CEO. Enjoy.
Hi, and welcome to Speak Like a CEO. I'm Lena Carlson, and I'm here with Oliver Aust. Hey, Oliver.
Hey, Lena. Our guest today is joining us from New York, Georgia Sittis. He's the co-founder and CEO of Nutrafol, which is literally a growing company. Hi, Georgia.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having us.
So how is lockdown going in New York for you?
Been challenging, right? I don't know if... We're made to withstand an inside life like this, right? It's definitely not easy. It's been challenging. It's been challenging for all of us. But I'm overall just very grateful that the people around us, our employees, myself, we're healthy, and the company is, as all of you say, is growing. It's great to experience that we continue to add value to people's lives with our Nutrafol products, helping them with their hair health through this challenging time. So overall, very grateful, but I'm definitely not going to say that it's easy. Hopefully, COVID will be reduced hopefully soon, and treatments will be available so we can start living our normal lives again.
What brings you to New York? You were born in Greece and grew up in the Netherlands, and now you're an entrepreneur in New York. How come?
I was chasing the American dream. New York was always very just a beautiful city for me, and I was brought up in Greece, and then I grew up in Holland, and I was modeling in my early 20s. So I have an engineering background, and that eventually led me to come to New York. And I literally packed a suitcase one day, and I decided after my modeling career to come here and start a new life. And I fall in love with the city, and I love entrepreneurship. And this is a country where you can do pretty much everything that you want to do. I think it was just a great opportunity for me to come here and start a new life. And so far, it's been very good.
And so obviously the company Nutrafol was actually based off like a problem that you had whilst modeling. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. It was essentially I was modeling, and I started to lose my hair in my early 20s, which was pretty challenging, right, as a young man to start losing your hair. I started to thin, and I realized that I was genetically predisposed to thinning hair. And I took a very proactive approach. I went to a dermatologist back in Holland, actually, and I got a pharmaceutical drug recommended with known side effects. And I took that drug called finasteride to just basically prevent hair loss. And unfortunately, after a few years, that led to some severe side effects, such as sexual dysfunction. So that was a pretty emotional journey for me as a young man. And I actually, this was obviously taboo, and you couldn't talk about it to anyone, not even to your friends, right? These are sensitive topics. And when I came to New York for modeling and my engineering career, I continued that, and I had a successful engineering company here in New York. Eventually, I just decided to do something else, something that felt more that I was really contributing to people's lives. And considering that I was suffering from this problem that I didn't have solutions for, I used to go to doctors even here in New York, and I would just ask for answers when it comes to what is really the cause of all of this, and is it just genetics? Can I take control of the situation? What is really going on with the pharmaceutical drug that I'm taking? Because I was severely jeopardizing my health, I wasn't getting the right answers, and it was fate where me and myself, my business partner, who's a science biohacker, Roland Peralta, he was a friend of mine, and I opened up to him. I shared my concern, and back then he was treating his disease, actually he's in his mid-50s, rheumatoid arthritis, very successfully with nutraceutical supplements targeting inflammation, and some of the side effects were actually that his hair started to grow back. So that, which is actually a side benefit, right? So that opened up a whole conversation, and we just as friends, we started to research and really dive deep into the science and the literature to connect dots that nobody else was connecting, just to find a healthy and a safe approach to treating just thinning hair and hair health in general.
I think what's really interesting that you mentioned there is the whole topic of it being a taboo. And I think that's obviously a challenge when you have a product like this, is how do you kind of get it into the market and communicate and talk about it when people feel uncomfortable to talk about the subject? Do you have any like tips or key learnings on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like when you speak about taboos, what's important is, like, there's a lot of negative emotion around taboos, right? And there's a lot of insecurities around it. So when you speak about, for example, hair loss, right? Especially for women, by the way, because even in the United States, it's like 40 million women that are losing their hair, right? It's a massive number. And, you know, for men, it's kind of acceptable, even though it's not something that you're really proud of talking about. But for women, it's absolutely devastating because it's not that accepted, right? So that opens up a whole sensitive conversation. And when it comes to addressing these type of topics, very early on, we were just incredibly positive about it, and really turning a negative message in a positive message. That's why typically we never even talk about loss. We always talk about growth. Right. How you grow, not just, of course, your hair, but just as an individual. And growth means a lot to different people. Right. How do you grow personally, individually, and collectively? Right. And not just just on a personal basis, but, you know, spiritually as well, whatever that means to you. So our communication as far as Nutrafol concerned, and even internally, has always been incredibly positive. Generating fear, right? Because very often the way people communicate, if there is a problem that is being addressed, is continue to hammer down that problem, right? To cause that level of fear, which often inspires decision making, right? But our approach has been very different. It's been always very empowering. It's been always very positive around not necessarily a problem. It's something that we all go through. Hair thinning and loss and everything else, just a part of aging, and we can do that gracefully, right? And so our communication style has always been very empowering, very positive, and absolutely not causing any fear about anything we do, because you just see that way more often, right? It's like companies and individuals are trying to capitalize on fear-driven tactics to just generate revenue. So for us, it's been always a very authentic approach. And I think one of the key things as we're doing right now is always having open conversations about sensitive topics and sharing our own personal experiences, because it's a vulnerable thing to say and to discuss, right? But I think the moment you start doing that, it just opens up a conversation, and that just creates hope. to millions of people, which is absolutely incredible.
It's interesting, and I can imagine that a key obstacle is to create enough trust for people to try the product, because we've, you know, as men, we've all heard these, you know, these ads aimed at us that scare you and tell you, you know, no more gray hair, no more hair loss, no more this, no more that. And we say, oh yeah, okay, here we go again. But if you want to make a difference and you believe in your product, how do you create enough trust for people to try it?
Well, I think trust, especially in a category where there's a lot of skepticism, right? As you just perfectly mentioned, it's like, oh, here you go again, right? It's like when there's a lot of skepticism, there's especially in an industry where there's a lot of product out there that simply doesn't work and people are getting away with claims that they can't substantiate. Everything you do has to be rooted in science. And that has been our approach from the get-go. Meaning, our first sales opportunity, or at least to sell the product, was a very well-known dermatologist. So very early on, we started to seed the product in the hands of physicians, to really help them to understand our approach. And then, of course, to also validate the approach itself. Remember, in the beginning, it was just an hypothesis. It was a whole body approach, like a wellness approach when it comes to addressing hair health. By targeting these underlying causes, such as stress, inflammation, free radicals, the genetic components, such as DHT, etc. It's like, how do you do that in a very healthy and an effective way? And how do you basically bring the body back to homeostasis, which is a state of balance, to address hair health? Now, this was especially 5 years ago. This was a very new approach. So how do you convince? Sure, you can start selling product online and in different channels. But for us, we always wanted to help people. I had a successful company. My business partner did. It was our intention was never to get in the hair loss space. But we realized that we had science and an approach that made sense. And by communicating it with doctors, it gave us a lot of confidence to basically go in this full on. I remember we were basically all our savings we put into this company. This company wasn't funded by investors in the beginning. It was all self-funded. And set us up for, in my opinion, much greater success.
I was going to say it's essentially having a spokesperson strategy, right, to bring in the scientists and some kind of influences that are relevant to the product. Then, I guess, to build that credibility in the first instance.
It's very important to have credibility. Otherwise, we invested millions of dollars in clinical trials. We continue to invest a lot in research and development with everything that we do because we want to feel very good about it ourselves. Right, we take this on a daily basis ourselves, and it's just incredibly important to be rooted in science when you address something like this. So once you have that as a foundation, to your point, that's where you can start truly building a brand, and that's what we've done.
And you're also using your personal brand to build the company brand, and obviously you have great hair, and you go out and talk about it, and you talk about it in personal ways as well. So was it a deliberate choice to use your personal brand and build that in order to boost the company?
It's a good question. I don't see myself necessarily having a personal brand. I have, obviously I am the spokesperson of Nutrafol. I look at this as this has been a part of my legacy, right? This has been this is important to me because I always wanted to truly drive impact in this world, and by having the ability to provide this knowledge, right, and empower people with this new knowledge and new science for them to make better decisions for themselves and healthier decisions for themselves is just incredibly rewarding. So overall, I've been combining my personal life and my business life. My business is almost my personal life. So these two worlds have been merging, which is not always an easy thing to do. But I've been always very authentic around why we have started this company and exactly why we do what we do. things have come together really nicely.
It seems like the business is doing well.
Do you want to kick off your personal branding journey to boost your business in 30 days? Then head over to oliveraust.com and get started with the Unignorable course. Now let's get back to the interview.
Oliver, I'd be interested to know your take on the topic since you've been focusing so much on personal branding this year as well. Do you think that someone who was bald could start this company?
Well, yeah, but the person would have to hide, right? So hence my question at George's. I recently published a bestseller called Unignorable about personal branding and business. And when I looked at your videos and the podcast you recorded previously and Instagram, etc., it became very clear to me that there's a perfect match between the founder, the product, and the company, and that you're playing your cards right. You're doing a lot of things right in that respect, even if you do not perceive it as building your personal brand. To me, this is clearly what is happening. And if it's authentic and organic, that's even better, rather than a sort of deliberate attempt to create a persona that is not you. And obviously, you know, your great hair and your smile and everything, that speaks for itself and obviously helps the company. And I think it's a big distinguishing factor between Nutrafol and other companies in this space that use pretty I would say standard, interchangeable commodity advertising of, you know, men are scared that his hair is falling out. What are you going to do? So this is definitely a differentiating factor, I think, which works in your favor. And the other thing I found remarkable is that you decided to create your own category. So you're not in the hair loss space, you're in the hair wellness space. And maybe you can shed some light on that choice as well.
That's a great question. And of course, thank you for acknowledging that. The hair wellness space is a new space, and that goes back to the original question and topic we discussed. It's like, how do you turn something much more positive, right? You have this hair loss space that's always been negative and taboo and skepticism and old school brands, right? There hasn't been any innovation in the hair loss space since 1988, believe it or not. And I'm talking about pharmaceutical drugs. And then you've got the hair care space, which is the shampoos and the conditioners that are just not powerful enough to address such a complex issue. So since our approach was always targeting wellness and targeting that whole body approach, as I just explained, bringing the body back to homeostasis, a state of balance, we found it very appropriate and suitable to create and pioneer this new space, which is hair wellness, right? So really addressing the root causes, and then as a result, your hair is getting healthier. And it's not just your hair, it's obviously your skin and everything else, but really remaining hyper focused in what we know best has been a real key to success for us.
You guys have a pretty big social media following. I think something like 92,000 followers on Instagram. How have you gone about building that follower base up?
Pretty organically. It's been just really understand what people would like to see. And I don't know if you've gone through the whole Instagram feed. You can actually see how it has changed over time. It's actually quite interesting, but. We again try to be super positive, trying to share stories, testimonials, also being educational here, because it goes back to thought leadership. It's like, let's actually explain to people what we exactly do and how things work. And I think the consumer space is changing, and consumers are critical. They are more educated. They want to dive in a little bit deeper. So we've got a science page on the website, and it goes against all marketing tactics, right? It's like there's a lot of copy there, and marketers would say people would bounce and people would not read, right? And it's like it's the opposite. It's like people want to read, especially when it's about a topic that they truly care about. Again, this is not a nice to have. This is very, very important to people, and it affects people. It affects their confidence, etc. So, again, in the Instagram, we're trying to reflect all of that. And so we've been growing nicely and organically.
It's interesting what you say. And still, I would think that some listeners may think that, well, I'm trying to do all these things for my company, but I don't have 100,000 followers on Instagram. So what's the secret sauce?
I don't think you need a lot of followers on Instagram to build a successful company. I think when it comes to a company, it's like, can you actually solve a problem that is very dear to you? That's how I always approach things, because it's something you truly love and they are incredibly, incredibly passionate about.
I think that's a question we have a lot for the founders and CEOs on the podcast. Do you need to be passionate about what you're doing, or do you just need to know how to do it better than other people? And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts.
Oh my God, I think passionate is not even enough. You have to be obsessed. You absolutely have to be. If you want to build, sure, you can build a small company and make some money left and right. It's like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about changing in a very positive way the world, right? And truly help people on a massive scale. How do you do that? Like, that comes with a tremendous amount of challenges every single day. And if you just love something or you passionate about something, sure, that can bring you far. But I truly believe if you want to build something that's really impactful as an entrepreneur, you have to be in a positive way very obsessed about what you do and why you do what you do. Because if that's not the case, the challenges and the roadblocks are just going to push you down and you're going to give up. And that happens with the majority of the people, right? Everybody has ideas, everybody starts companies, but not everybody makes it to the top. So I truly believe you have to choose something that, for the right reasons, right? It's not about making money. This is about really creating something that adds value and really building a platform around that. While you continue to just battle all these challenges on a daily basis, because the bigger you become, the bigger the challenges become and the more heat you're going to receive. But that's okay. If you are absolutely loving what you're doing, you're obsessed about it, you will push through and you will make it and you will never, ever give up. And I think that's what's required in order to truly make a difference.
How does that obsession express itself on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you try to express that in the form of many smiles, but that's not always easy. It's incredibly important that you just remain positive throughout that level of obsession about everything that you do. The way I really try to communicate on a daily basis is being incredibly, incredibly clear in what is being communicated. I often say clarity, like clear is kind, right? And to truly hone in on what's important by actually generating your thoughts before you even speak and communicate to your team.
Just on a slightly different note though, has there been a big communications challenge or crisis that you faced this year, and how have you and the company overcome it?
Well, this year in specific, it's really the remote work, right? During COVID times, it's incredibly, incredibly challenging to continue to communicate through this digital world, not being in touch with people, not being able to experience people, not being able to feel the energy around people is incredibly challenging. Like, there's a lot of nonverbal communication that is not there anymore, right? So that's been incredibly challenging. I don't think just for us, but for lots of us. So especially when you lead a company and you have to bring people together and you have to inspire and you have to take everything to the next level, that is very challenging. But we continue to really battle that by over communicating, right? And making sure that we're addressing problems, have open conversations about what's going on in the world, and how we can support each other, because it's a lot that we're going through, and we're seeing it a lot just just across the board, where people are just feeling, continue to feel very challenged, and just important to just be there for each other.
I could imagine that there are also people out there who criticize you and question the validity of the product. You know, for instance, on social media, does that happen? And if so, how do you deal with that?
Absolutely. It's like we're in a category where we're dealing with, first of all, a lot of competition, right? So there's always people that and companies that are trying to take you down, but we're very resilient to that. I'm also personally very resilient to that. And there's for some people where the product doesn't work as well as for others, and that happens all the time, right? And we're very open about that. It's like there's a lot that's going on in people's lives, and we're trying to help people with their hair health by addressing some of these underlying causes with these nutraceutical ingredients, right? But there's only so much we can do. So there's all other aspects in people's lives that contribute to all of this, right? Their wellness, their health, their lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes sometimes there's even underlying other diseases that are playing a role. So it happens. It happens, and we're open about it. And the way we address that is to always try to accommodate people the best way we can, and continue to go back to our science and to our approach and our credibility that we have established over the course of all these years. I'm personally very resilient to that type of criticism. Criticism always comes when you reach a certain level of success. So I consider that a compliment, right? But when it comes to consumers, when they have concerns, we're trying to do everything in our power to support them the best way we can.
I think that's a really good perspective. Before we finish up today, do you have a final piece of advice for other founders, CEOs, entrepreneurs in terms of communication?
Well, one thing is that really stands out, as I just mentioned, is clarity. Clear is kind. It's hard to be clear. And less is sometimes even more, right? And it's hard to actually be very concise in your message. So everything that you do, when you communicate to your team, to employees, it's like, let's be very clear. Let's not dance around specific topics. Let's not avoid sensitive topics, right? Let's just embrace it and have open conversations about that. Continue to listen, because that's where innovation is and will come from.
Yeah, there's quite thank you, George. And there are a lot of points you made that are very transferable and can be applied to lots and lots of businesses. So to me, those were, for instance, that you said you have to be obsessed about the product and you know, your urge to help people with your product and your company. And that expresses itself in lots of smiles. So the positivity in that I really liked. Then the necessity to create trust, especially if you're in a space where there's a lot of skepticism, and to use science, for instance, to overcome that skepticism. And to me, that also means that you do need a lot of copy on the website. And I think that is what marketers often miss. They see it as a sort of one size fits all. And if you're selling a jumper, you don't need a lot of text. But if you're selling a product where people have a lot of skepticism, you actually have to explain it quite a bit. So the more obstacles you face and more skepticism you face as an entrepreneur, the more copy, the more explanation you need. And I think that also explains partly why your social media channels are so successful. So there's a big pain point and you go to extreme lengths to explain what's happening and how people can address it. And then also in terms of marketing, you know, owning a category, very clever, I thought. And you're using the personal branding, even if you, you know, don't quite see that well. Your own story, telling your own story as a hook to talk about the company is also obviously, I think, a key learning. And a lot of CEOs can and should do more of it, I believe.
Incredibly well said. You're a great communicator.
Thanks so much. Thank
you, which is transferable. And I think a lot of listeners may have gone into the interview thinking, well, I'm not in the beauty space and it's very different to what I'm doing. But, you know, those are very transferable.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, it's about, as you just mentioned, it's really loving what you do and not just the products, right? But really the certain, just the service that you offer, right? At the end of the day, it's really about it's loving and being obsessed about what you do, so you can actually withstand all these obstacles and challenges that you're going to face throughout that whole growth journey, as we call it.
Yeah. Focus on the people, right? People before product, and the product's just there to help the people. And if you focus on the people and not so much on, all the doubters and all the noise out there, then you can go a long way.
Absolutely. It's and trust me, it's been very challenging. And very often you feel, okay, are we doing the right thing? Can we do better? But continue to challenge yourself, and being really comfortable with the uncomfortable is really key to success. And challenging the status quo, as you just mentioned, even with copy on the website and going against all odds, is a part of all of this. You're going to have to push the boundaries sometimes in order to achieve the level of impact that you would like to make. And again, we're just very fortunate that we're doing so, and we continue to grow.
Yeah, and you invested so much money into it, and clinical tests and trials are so expensive. So, chapeau for doing that and putting your own money on the line.
We're cooking rice and beans for a long time in my business partner's apartment in order to pull it all off. It was a great it's great to look back and see what we have achieved to date. But yeah, that was definitely not easy. And the more you grow, it becomes harder and harder and harder. And then you're entering a whole new phase with new challenges. But that's the beauty of it. So you continue to be challenged. Otherwise, you're going to fall flat, right? Not just business-wise, but also personally. So what can you do to continue to challenge yourself, even within your space, professionally and personally, so you become, uncomfortable, or actually comfortable with the uncomfortable. And then growth and wellness and happiness is the result of that.
Well, that's a great note to leave it on. Thanks so much, Georgios, for chatting to us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
And thanks for listening.
Loads of insights. What do you think? Connect with Oliver Austin and Lena Paulson on LinkedIn to share your feedback.